Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here. Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. And we are so excited to be back from the High Times Cannabis Cup. We're down there. Herb and I did a road trip all the way down to California for the High Times Cannabis Cup. Good time was had by all. And I made a little media splash while I was there. Check it out.
Longtime cannabis activist Russ Belville couldn't be more definitive in delivering his marijuana legalization State of the Union Saturday. After his address at the Cannabis Cup, Belville said the State of the Union is stronger than it's ever been. The marijuana trade show is expected to draw 16,000 people to the Cow Palace in Daly City through Sunday. There is much to bring a smile to the cannabis.
And there you go. That's the intro from the video piece on the San Francisco Chronicle's website. And it also appeared in their print edition of the Sunday San Francisco Chronicle. Page A14, discussing the Cannabis Cup, actually opened up. I'll just read you the first two paragraphs. Longtime cannabis activist Russ Belville couldn't be more definitive in delivering his marijuana legalization State of the Union Saturday. Quote, the State of the Union is stronger than it's ever been, end quote, Belville said after giving his address at the Cannabis Cup, the marijuana trade show that is expected to draw 16,000 people to the Cow Palace in Daly City through Sunday. Unlike the president's address delivered annually in Washington, Belville began his by welcoming, quote, the tokers, tokettes, and non-toking lovers of liberty, end quote. Yeah, and you'll get to hear that presentation. It was the first presentation of the day, and the reporter was Joe Garofoli with San Francisco Chronicle. I had a long conversation with him after the presentation. He was a great guy, asked a lot of great questions, and he also concluded with a quote from me at the conclusion of the article. Belville, who has attended almost every Cannabis Cup across the country, sees that, quote, maybe not in San Francisco, but in a lot of parts of the country, there's a stigma about marijuana still, end quote. As the cannabis industry has boomed, the cup events have mirrored those changes, Belville said, quote, it used to be about the activism, he said, now it is about the business, end quote. So I'm really excited to have made the San Francisco Chronicle. Thanks to Joe Garofoli for the interview and, of course, for the High Times staff for having me there at the Cup and giving me such a great stage to present from, a great event to speak to folks, give them a little education, a little bit of statistics about marijuana consumers and the state of legalization in this country. Also, speaking of getting information out, got a new article up on Huffington Post, just posted right now, and those of you who've been following my Twitter account will know exactly what this is all about. It's the it's my article entitled, Does Responsible Ohio Suck Worse Than Marijuana Prohibition? And that's up on the Huffington Post Politics right now. Let's see if I can get that into the chat room for you. Oh, sorry, I had a crash in the chat room. I'll have to get that fixed during break. But yes, let's see. Post. There we go. So there's the Huffington Post link for the folks in the chat room. And I basically go through all of my reasoning as to why, no matter how shitty the business aspect of legalization is, and this one is, I understand the arguments against it. I understand why people are having a visceral reaction to this. And a lot of it, to me, it seems like it's a lot of ideological reaction rather than what would the actual harm of this be, right? I think people are just, in their gut, offended by the idea of closing off marijuana grow capitalism. I think they're just offended at the idea that, oh my God, we're trading growing capitalism for the freedom of possession and having stores. Like, they feel like they're selling themselves into slavery of some sort. And that, to me, just seems like an emotional reaction. It seems like an ideological reaction. Someone who's pro-free market, putting the idea that we have to have a free market above all the good that would transpire by passing marijuana legalization. Namely, ending the punishment of people for possessing cannabis. And number two, providing medical marijuana to those patients in Ohio who have been living without all of these years, struggling without all these years, or risking imprisonment as it is all these years. I just feel like, you know, Ohio is a tough nut to crack, man. And to think that 2016 it would have a chance to pass, when that's going to be the presidential election year, when that's going to be all the big donors looking at California and other states that are already in the mix, like Michigan and Nevada and Arizona and so forth. And of all of those possible places to donate your money, Ohio would be the long shot bet in 2016.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
But I tell you what, for all the people who hate Responsible Ohio, and I understand why you do, I'm not going to argue with you anymore on Twitter or Facebook. I've already said what I have to say about it. If you'd like to have more dialogue about it, chime in on the comments section of Huffington Post or over at RadicalRuss.com. So at least for all of the abuse and time I spend defending legalization, I can at least get some hit count for it. We come back, we're going to go off the warpath, take a look at the Confederate flag controversy. Bet you can guess where I stand on this one. Be right back.
Radio. Fighting prohibition since 2012.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org. or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. That's music from Wagon Christ. The track is entitled Workout. Be a good workout track, I suppose. All right, we are going to take a break from the war on drugs for this next segment. As I like to do from time to time, we go off the war path, and that just means we talk about something other than the war on drugs. And today in Off the Warpath, I want to address the horrific shooting that took place in Charleston, South Carolina at the Emmanuel AME Church, historic black church in South Carolina, in Charleston. And of course, let's keep in mind that, you know, we also have recently had to deal with the police shooting of an unarmed black man who was running away, who was gunned down, shot in the back in that area as well. So all of these incidents are kind of starting to pile up, and this has led to a controversy. Now, the shooter, Dylan Roth is his name, and everyone's calling him Dylan Roof, but if you've looked at some of the news reports a little deeper, you'll see that they've indicated that it rhymes with cough. So his name's Dylan Roth. Pictured wearing a jacket with the Rhodesian flag, the South African flag, both flags of apartheid white supremacist regimes, well-known symbols in the Aryan power community, whatever you want to call it, white power community. And also his appropriation of the Confederate flag, his use and display of the Confederate flag. And that's where we go off the warpath today, is addressing this symbol, the Confederate flag. And it's tough for me addressing it because I'm from the Pacific Northwest, but it is not that far from what I have to understand, because the Pacific Northwest, and particularly Northern Idaho, I'm originally from Idaho, was well known for having an Aryan Nations compound up there in the Northern Panhandle, and being known somewhat as, you know, being a racist state and not very diverse. And so we would see from time to time, even down south in Boise where I was at, you know, Confederate flags on people's trucks and such. And I just don't understand. You know, I don't want to just dismiss it by saying take the racism out of it, because it is about the racism, obviously, right? That this was the battle standard. And I know there was other flags, right? There was like the one with the stars and bars that had the white background that was the actual Confederate flag. The white flag part of it was to symbolize white superiority. It was in their own words they wrote this stuff down. I'm not making stuff up. This is the creators of that flag said it was basically about white supremacy. And of course, that is integral to what we're talking about, to having this flag displayed on official government property. Now, whether you want to display it in your truck or on your belt buckle or your t-shirt, I could care less. That's fine. That's personal expression. And I'm as fine with you wearing that as getting a swastika tattoo. That's your right to express yourself, even in horrific and offensive ways. It's everyone's right to express themselves. But when it comes from the state, from the apparatus of the state, from the government, that's where I've got a problem with it. Because even beyond just the racism angle of it, it's the flag of a traitorous rebellion that sought to destroy the United States. It's the flag of a nation that declared war on my country, on our country. And so it seems odd, even just, you know, just from that part of it alone, it seems odd that we would have the state governments of this region that tried to destroy the United States venerating this symbol. Then add the racism to that, right? Add the racism on top of it, that the reason why they committed this treasonous act to destroy the United States is because they wanted to keep owning people. And it becomes completely indefensible. This is worse than the whole Washington NFL football team controversy, right? I mean, this is a country that declared war on the United States. And I was struggling to come up with an analogy that would work for me, because I think an analogy sometimes. And I got to thinking there isn't really one. But The closest I could think of was, what if, you know, we started putting Japanese rising sun stickers on our cars out here in the Pacific Northwest, right? Because Japan was a country that declared war against the United States, and that was its battle flag. Let's go to our phone lines. We got a call from the 267 area code. 267, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello, Russ. Actually, hi.
Hi.
Oh, sorry, there's an echo.
It should
all right, what I find ironic, though, is if the Confederates had won, yes, they didn't necessarily have the best policies on everything. However, they were more for states' rights, meaning if they had won, we might not be having this issue with, the federal government says no. We'd be favoring more of what the states have to say, and therefore there wouldn't be such a hoopla that is being made today.
I got to say, though, that's really looking for a silver lining. I mean, yeah, slavery would have continued, true, but at least we'd have medical marijuana. But I get your point.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I agree with slavery by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, right.
I get the feeling we would have gotten rid of it relatively quickly after that, just by bullying from other countries, I'd imagine, because everyone had gotten rid of it before us.
That's true. The United States was one of the last countries to have dropped slavery. I think Britain was like 1830s, and they were one of the last before us.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was it. I just wanted to hear your feedback on that.
And oh, yeah.
That's a side that I never hear people voice that much.
Yeah. There's states' rights and then there's civil rights. And I think civil rights trump states' rights. And so if state wants to have a right, that's great. But it doesn't have the right to let people own people. I think that's where I come down on that.
No. Yeah. Oh, God, no.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Phone lines are open at 84-420 radio. That's 844-207-2346. It's a toll-free call. And I hear people making their defenses. It's heritage, not hate. It just represents the South. And, you know, there is an interesting dynamic in how the South went to war with the United States when you consider that at the time of the Civil War, only 1.6% of Southerners owned slaves, right? Mostly the rich, mostly the 1%, right? The 1.6% in this case owned slaves. So somehow these 1%ers managed to convince the 99%ers to enter a war against their own country, the United States, in order to further the 1%ers' economic interests. Isn't that interesting? It's like, history repeats itself, doesn't it, man? We always have the poor getting talked into fighting against their own best interests and fighting for the interests of the ennobled, landowning, white 1%. And in most cases, white at this point. But I don't understand. And I think it's starting to fall. I'm reading Amazon and Google and eBay and Etsy and all of these retailers are taking out anything and not selling anything anymore that's Confederate flag themed. And I don't know, that may just cause a niche company to sprout up that makes nothing but Confederate flags, and they'll make a mint. All right. It'll be like those people that get their GoFundMe campaigns when they won't bake a gay cake, a cake for a gay wedding. And then they get millions in campaign donations from all of these gay haters, right? That'll happen with this Confederate flag thing. You watch. If the website doesn't exist, it'll exist by the time you finish listening to this podcast. They will take all the Confederate flag sales. You'll get them on shot glasses and mugs and keychains. It'll be on everything. That's the way American capitalism works. But it looks like the campaign is having some effect, at least on the big box retailers, the big online retailers. Will it have any effect in South Carolina, where the terrible tragedy has occurred and where the Confederate flag still flies at the Capitol? It's not on the Statehouse dome anymore. As they like to say down there, it's off the dome and in your face. It's on a statue of a Confederate general. Where does that opening that can of worms end? If you take down the Confederate flag, they have to start taking down those Confederate generals, those statues, their names all over everything in the South? Something to take a look at.
Well, excuse me!
Well, that's it. That's all the Off the Warpath for today. Enough talking about the Confederate flag. When we come back, we've got Electric Tuesday. Electric Bob calling in with some new electronic music. The track is called Spooked. We'll get to listen to that. And then, the second half hour, more on the marijuana news of the day, including the dangerous dabbing trend and pot for veterans. All when we come back.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome everybody. We've got some Daily Toker Tunes here. Electric Tuesday, courtesy of Electric Bob, who unfortunately can't call in from Arizona today because the phones have melted. This is Iyer with Spooked, the Final Master.
You know where in London,
yeah, the culture, and I feel that back.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop.
What do you
Thomas
get?
Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome. Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ganja White Knight with Confession. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio on 420radio.org. Just quick update on the Confederate flag issue. Now there are multiple Confederate statues being vandalized all across the South. The most recent one, the Confederate Defenders statue in Charleston, South Carolina, vandalized with spray paint reading Black Lives Matter. And a second Confederate monument was discovered defaced Tuesday. This is the John C. Calhoun statue with the name Calhoun followed, which is on the statue itself, followed by a comma and the word racist. And more of these defacings happening all across the country. In Baltimore, same words were done in yellow paint over an etched message on a statue for the Maryland Daughters of the Confederacy. In Texas, Austin American Statesman reports that several statues at the University of Texas have been defaced with the words Black Lives Matter, the Jefferson Davis statue, and two others. And this is taking this is really catching people's thoughts and imagination here. A big battle over the Confederate flag symbol. We'll follow up on that as more of this becomes available. All right. As I mentioned, my piece on Responsible Ohio has been placed up on the Huffington Post politics page. Would encourage you, if you check that out, leave a comment. Let them know you appreciate this reporting. And the title is, Does Responsible Ohio Suck Worse Than Marijuana Prohibition? And as I point out at the end, the passage of Responsible Ohio would create legalized marijuana possession equal to Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. It would create legalized home grow, unlike Washington, equal to Oregon, less than Colorado and Alaska, but with a licensing provision. It would create legalized home possession greater than Washington, equal to Oregon, and less than Colorado and Alaska, but with a licensing provision. It would create legalized extract possession greater than Washington and equal to Oregon, Colorado, and Alaska. It would end the use of drug dogs for cannabis and eliminate most probable cause to harass consumers and growers, just like Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. It would create legal retail shops for the purchase of cannabis, extracts, edibles, and tinctures, just like Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. It would create business opportunities to run a retail shop, a processing facility, or a testing facility with fees greater than Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, and somewhat similar to Colorado. It would create a medical marijuana program with more qualifying conditions than Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Alaska, with greater cultivation allowances than Colorado and Washington, and greater home possession allowances than Washington, Alaska, and equal to Oregon. It would leave intact a system to criminally punish illegal growers who sell that is no worse than the situation now, and enormously better from the perspective of hiding one's illegal activity. And this is just, you know, there's so many people that are longtime marijuana reformers who are against this thing. And I can say the same thing about I-502 in Washington State. There was longtime marijuana reformers who were against that thing. And I can say the same thing about Prop 19 in California in 2010. There were longtime marijuana reformers against that thing. But in every case so far, I do not see where their predictions of doom and gloom are any worse than what exists right now. You don't get to vote between the legalization you want and the legalization you're getting. You get to vote between the legalization you're getting and the prohibition you have. This, and to me, this is an effect of the fact that few of us get busted for weed. The Rand Corporation did some study, Kevin Sabet likes to quote it all the time, that says you have to smoke an average of 12,000 joints before you get caught. Now that's on average, that's not if you're black, right? It's just on average. If you're black, it's probably far fewer joints. And just in raw numbers, we have about 750,000 marijuana arrests every year, and we have 25 million marijuana consumers every year. So 750,000, let's see, let's do the math on that there. 750,000 marijuana consumers divided by 750,000 marijuana arrests divided by 25 million consumers is about a 3% chance. 3% of the people who use marijuana this year will be arrested. So you got about a 1 in 33 shot. And so I think for a lot of people, and of course that number, that 1 in 33 number is for everybody. If you're a white guy smoking weed, the number's probably much greater. 1 in 50, 1 in 60, 1 in 80, who knows? So I think there's an element to this of people that have this attitude of, well, we don't have to take this legalization. We'll take the next one that comes along. This one's not quite good enough, because most of them aren't having any significant impact from the prohibition right now. Most of them don't face any significant impact because most of them don't get busted. 32 out of 33 people aren't going to get busted this year. And then the other argument that comes back is, well, you know, Ohio's decriminalized up to 100 grams. So then the people that, even if they are 1 out of 33 that gets busted, they think, well, even if I do get busted, it's just a ticket. It's just a $150 ticket, which is cool if you can afford $150. A lot of people can't. And then that leads to all sorts of problems as the fines compound and the late fees, and it can lead to jail. And even if it doesn't, as we've discovered, this minor misdemeanor in Ohio is kind of like sort of decrim in that you don't get arrested for it, but it's the kind of thing that can show up on your record and can show up in background checks. And I just have this feeling that there's so many people that, you know, they don't see any risk in keeping the prohibition they have. We don't need to sign off on this legalization because, you know, what's the big deal of waiting another year? Another year goes by where I only take a 1 out of 33 shot. You know, 1 out of 33, that's like landing a roulette wheel, right? Don't they have like 33 spots on a roulette wheel? close to it. And so most people think it's not going to happen to them, so why not wait for a better legalization? And I think part of it, too, is people reacting just viscerally to what they feel are shenanigans or cheating in some way. And I understand that. This idea of using the state constitution to enrich investors in a new industry is revolting. It's awful. But that's a problem with the game that's being played, not necessarily with the gamers playing it. You know, what I'm trying to say here is, yeah, it sucks that that's a way that can be used to get something into a constitution. On the other hand, nobody else was getting anything into the constitution anytime soon. Nobody else seemed to be able to raise any money for this. Ohio has had, and he's passed away now, but has had Peter Lewis living there. One of the three major billionaires who have contributed to all of the marijuana reform that's happened since 1996 lived in Ohio. His family still lives in Ohio. He had groups working on medical marijuana and marijuana legalization for years in Ohio, and never able to tap into that billionaire funder sitting right there. Why is that? Maybe because there was no seriously realistic shot of passing anything. These funders don't like to just drop their million or $2 million on things for fun. They want results. They want to back a winner. They want to know that their money is going to a good use. So these responsible Ohio people have taken advantage of this with a real twisted idea, which is, hey, drop $2 million on funding this campaign and we'll make you one of the 10 growers. The fact that the Ohio Constitution allows you to do something like that is kind of troublesome, but the fact that it's being done to the benefit of legalization makes me happy. I'm happy to see that we're going to end this tool of prohibition policing. How much marijuana leads to other arrests, leads to other harassment in Ohio and everywhere else? And we have a chance to end that. But I think people just viscerally react to the idea that 10 guys are going to get rich. But strangely enough, there was no such visceral reaction to only electing to have 2 licensees in Minnesota for medical marijuana, or what, 6 in New Jersey, or however many it is. Nobody ever called it oligopoly. Nobody ever called it cornering the market or a few rich people getting richer when it was that. Or what about these states where even if you want to get one of those 6 or 2 or however many licenses, you got to put up and show that you've got $500,000 in escrow. Right? But what, it was medical. I didn't hear a lot of complaints about that. I wonder if the complaints would be the same if these particular growers weren't being written into the Constitution. Let's say that responsible Ohio had come up with $20 million some other way, but their language dictated that there would only be 10 grow sites and they cost $2 million a license. Not predetermined who's the licensees, right? But there will only be 10 and it costs $2 million to get a license. Would we hear the same? I don't think we'd hear the same level of complaint. I think people would complain that, oh, you have to be rich to get into the game. But I think the idea that it would be open for competition for everyone to try to raise $2 million to get into that game would offend these people less than having it predetermined by the people who are funding the campaign for legalization. It's interesting how this is breaking down, and the major organizations like Normal, High Times, Drug Policy Alliance, Marijuana Policy Project have yet to definitively take a stand. I know where some of them are starting to line up, though, and it's kind of disturbing.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility
in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. That's music from Mind Movie. It's called Sophisticated. During break, just following up on more Confederate flag stuff going on. There's a Facebook group called the Everlasting GOP Stoppers. Like the Everlasting Gobstoppers, but they're the Everlasting GOP Stoppers. They have organized a protest in your city or town called National Burn the Confederate Flag Day this Saturday. And so far has 9,321 people who have joined it. So, interesting. All right, you can find them on the Everlasting GOP Stoppers, the Everlasting GOP Stoppers on Facebook. Interesting stuff. Cute story coming out of Pacific Northwest here. Or actually, out of Colorado, this side of Durango, where a veterans group had a sign up that said, all donations welcome. So disabled American veterans volunteer Bob Collette received the surprise when he visited a business in Durango and received 2 quarter-ounce containers of marijuana worth approximately $100. The unusual donation left the organization scrambling to figure out what to do with it. Collette said the group hoped to raffle the pot off, but found out that it was not permissible. Collette said he will return the donation to the shop where it will be destroyed. What? Hey, they gave you that marijuana so you could give it to some veterans. You're in Colorado. It's legal for adults to exchange marijuana and share it with one another so long as they are not paying to do so. So yeah, you can't raffle it off, but you can give it away. You don't have to have it back to the store where it will be destroyed. Yeah, in a series of small controlled fires. Man, it's an interesting time to be alive, because I know in 30 years I'll be able to be an old man and look back at this and tell the youngins about when we were all so freaked out about weed. Oh, my goodness. Other quick news story out there. Dick Van Patten, the TV star who was famous from the show 8 is Enough, has died at the age of 86 from diabetic complications. He was also on The Love Boat, Happy Days, and more recently was on the show That 70s Show and Arrested Development. Also, a good story, from the Buffalo, New York, ABC News affiliate, Channel 7 in Buffalo, WKBW. The title of the story is Dangerous Marijuana Dabbing Drug Trend Emerges. Oh no, it's dabbing! Yeah. And what's nice is they put dabbing in quotes, right? And so this is interesting to see as dabbing, you know, makes its way across the country and people start to fall in love with BHO, to see the local news channels kind of try to explain it to their audience. They call it, their opening paragraph here is, a lab concentrated form of marijuana is exploding homes and the drug scene. Lab concentrated form of marijuana. And they talk about butane honey oil and the art of blasting, which is done by following instructional videos online. And they talk about the price, $25 to $40 a gram. It's often called honeycomb, earwax, shatter, or dabs. The crystal is up to 80% THC. Dabs are smoked in an oil rig in which a titanium rod is heated with a blowtorch. It can also be vaporized within an e-cigarette or added to solid candy. So all these places news places in the various small towns trying to get their minds around dabbing. And one thing I like about this is it kind of shows that the dabbing thing is about ready to transform into something else, right? It's like now that these small town news is starting to get into the dabbing, you can bet that the big city kids are moving on to something else. And guess what they have? Have you heard of rosin? That's where this thing is going, folks. Rosin is what you get when you're pressing marijuana buds between two hot plates. Like you use like a hair iron, right? And they're doing these rosin presses now. It involves no BHO, butane whatsoever, to press out cannabis concentrate. And I saw a couple of booths for it at the Cannabis Cup. So between the movement toward vaporization, vapor pens, these handheld vapor devices, and rosin pressing, and what I think are going to be laws that will increasingly restrict and ban home blasting. I mean, like, if I want to get some Sudafed, which I could really use, I don't know if you can tell, I got a little bit about of a little bit of cold here, but if I want to go get some Sudafed here in Oregon, I got to go to a pharmacy and I got to go talk to a person face to face and I got to sign something and show my ID and I can get two boxes and that's it. And they put that together because they realized that people making meth were hiring what they call Smurfs, people to go in and buy Sudafed, and buy lots of it, and they'd make meth out of it. And they figured, well, you know, a person really doesn't need more than a couple boxes of Sudafed if they got a cold. And if you got nothing to hide, why would you worry about showing your ID to get some Sudafed? Now, there's some civil rights aspects of that I don't like. I don't like the lack of privacy involved in getting something like Sudafed, but there's kind of one of those trade-offs. Like, yeah, but it helps to cut down on meth labs. Or at least it's supposed to. So why is there not the same kind of law around butane refill cans? I've told the story numerous times about the bodega that's just a couple blocks away from me that sells boxes of butane cans, right? Like there's 12 in a box, a case, right? Of butane refill cans and multiple brands of these butane refill cans. And we know where it's going to. Hell, the shop itself sells blasting tubes. We know what's happening with it. So why isn't there some sort of regulatory control on these butane refill cans? like Sudafed, where you have to show ID to be able to get some. Nobody's filling up that many lighters, you know? One butane can for someone who's not dabbing or using or blasting can last quite a while. Even if you're having to refill that damn creme brulee torch you use for the dab, a can will last you for a while. Well, I think those laws are coming. I think we're going to see laws like that. And I think we're going to see an ebb to dabbing. And the other thing I think that's going to help is as more markets come online, you know, Colorado, Washington are already online. As Oregon comes online, Alaska comes online. And you've got licensed processors making dabs, making BHO in a safe and regulated way. And as more of the market shifts over to concentrates, which I think it's going to, I've heard estimates that within 10 years, 90% of the market's going to be concentrates of some sort. I don't believe that. I think it's going to be concentrates and edibles, but yeah, I get the point. We're going to move away from the combustion of flowers. I think that's going to be the natural evolution. I think someday I'll be smoking a joint with herb. We'll be in our 70s and we'll be looked at as old geezers. Can you believe those geezers actually smoke? Ooh. It's going that way. We're going to be like that, folks. But it's just going to become so cheap and easy and efficient to be able to use a vapor pen, to be able to know that the mixture that you're getting. I mean, when we were talking to that Joel Strike from Merigene, and he was talking about all of the different genetic markers for certain terpenoid profiles and for certain, you know, characteristics. When all that gets mapped out over the next few years, marijuana is going to be all about cannabinoid extracts. Very fine-tuned cannabinoid extracts. All with the efficiency of a little vapor pen. Smoking pot, smoking raw flowers will be kind of a cultural oddity, a remnant, a vestige of our hippy-dippy past. That bothers some people. Herb's not, he don't like that at all. He, I'll be smoking joints till the day I die. Me? I kind of like the vapor pens. I kind of like this move to a sleeker, nice, packaged, consistent dosage device gives me far less of the, of what makes my voice, what loses my voice after a while. Right. I think this is the direction that we're moving in this. And I think, we're going to see plenty more of that as we continue. All right. Let me, sign off today with some more highlights from the Cannabis Cup. This is, well, let's see if I can find that clip. Where are you? Herb Thrasher with the guy from followmybong.com.
What's up, everyone? Herb Thrasher with 420radio.org walking through the NorCal Medical Cannabis Cup right here on the inside area, and found a dude from Where's My Bong, man. Dude, I've been following some of your pictures for a long time. Great to see you at the Cannabis Cup. First of all, how are you doing? And then tell us about that bong.
Man, I'm doing great. It's nice out here. I'm having a good time. And the bong? Well, fuck, I follow it too. Follow my bong. It's the way it goes.
How'd you start that?
How'd I start? Well, I had a bong a long time ago. I started taking a few photos of it, put it on Instagram. Everybody liked it. My Instagram got deleted, and then my bong broke. I was like, fuck, dude. So I started taking photos of my other bong, and it just didn't look right. So I got another bong exactly the same, started a new Instagram, and dedicated it just to the bong. And now everywhere I travel around, I take photos of it, and everybody loves it.
Well, you actually got a cool following, man. A lot of people, that's how I found you, is somebody sent it to me and said, dude, I know how much you like bongs, and you got to check this out. So that's awesome, man. Really cool.
Yeah, man, it's real great. So
What's the most satisfying thing? Do people hit you up? Do you get responses from them? Hey, dude, or, you know, that's my home, that's my city.
You know, I go a lot of places and it's real cool, but one of the craziest things that people say is it's on their bucket list to smoke out with me.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, no, it is. I bet you get a lot of that, man. So that's really cool. Well, excited to talk with the dude from Where's My Bong. .com and Facebook, right?
I have no .com. I have no Facebook. I'm just on Instagram, Hesher420. And I just got a Snapchat, Hesher.420. Someone took my name, Hesher420. I don't know why.
Is this your first cup?
No, this is my second NorCal cannabis cup. So I've been going to them since the last one. This is about my sixth.
Right on. Well, you keep up the great work, dude, and we'll be following that bong.
Right on.
Cheers, dude. Take care, man. What kind of bud you got in there?
In here, I got some nice perps. You want a bong rip?
Let's do a bong rip, man. I'm going to do a bong rip with where's... this is awesome. This is like a bucket list thing. Dude, you're a badass.
Herb had so much fun at the Cannabis Cup. We've got more of his walkabouts with various vendors. I got to chop them up. He did just big long files, so I got to chop up the various reports that he did. We'll have those. We'll play them from time to time here over the next few days. On Friday, there will be no live show, but I will be playing my entire presentation on the legalization state of the union, followed by the entire presentation on the Reform CA panel on how to legalize marijuana in California for 2016. We will be attending the funeral and the services for Larry Kirk, LK, longtime cannabis activist here in Oregon, who passed away last week. And so I got to take Friday off to attend to all of that. Pay my respects. For everyone here at Roller J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care.